Well, you having a good day? All right, fantastic. I'm so glad. Let's just start with a word of prayer, and we'll get going. Lord, thank you for your grace, and thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we just got to enjoy in our walk across the parking lot. Thank you as well for the nourishment that we had that will provide the strength we need to live out our day. We pray that you would be honored. I pray that you would help us in this session, that as we think about this counseling process, that it would be an encouragement to us, that we'd be challenged personally, and then, Lord, that we would be able to put it into practice as you give us opportunity to minister to your people. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll be doing the key elements, right? So you guys got them all memorized, right? Number one is? All right, build loving involvement. And by the way, if you don't do that well, you can really mess up your counseling. In other words, people do want to know that you care about them before they hear all the advice that you have. They want to hear that. And that will become extremely obvious if you don't do it well. I've been in several situations, even this year, where either I did a really good job of building involvement and the person just hung with me, and regardless of the challenges, regardless of the circumstances, they were like, dude, you are in my court. I believe that, and I want you to be there with me, and so I'm going to hang on to this as long as possible. And then there's been one or two times where I didn't do quite so good at that, and it was disastrous. And so I just want to encourage you. Each one of these are very important steps. Now, number two is, all right, to share biblical hope. You know, there is something very powerful about when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is extremely powerful, extremely helpful for our counselees. Then, from the last session, number three. All right, gather relevant data. We want to be listeners first and speakers second. Listeners first, speakers second. We ask questions rather than make assumptions. Then number four? Okay, we're evaluating the problem biblically. So now we understand that when we ask a series of questions and we give counselees the opportunity to speak, they're not necessarily going to speak in such a way that they come off in nice, neat, biblical categories. Instead, they kind of, did Steve do the like throw up thing? All right, that's kind of the way it is. I mean, they hurl all over you. And so you have to sort of organize all of that into some biblical categories so you can help them. All right, so that gets to number five. Now, there's a couple of diagrams. You saw the little arrow thing. One other little piece of this. What we are asking, if we just drew a whole week and we're having the opportunity to meet with this person one time, we're asking how we can use that little slice of our time with them to impact all of it. We want all of this to be impacted by our time together. Not just the 1 hour or hour and a half or 2 hours, however long it is. It's not just simply that time. We want it to be impacted for the whole week. So we like to view it kind of like the pep rally thing. I mean, sometimes you got to take the field. And when you take the field, that's what counts. That's the 167 hours. And so what you guys were talking about is, well, how do I break this hour up into the most meaningful way to impact everything else? And part of the answer to that question is about 20 to 30 minutes into the first session, what are the questions you're trying to answer? Where do they need to change? First. And where do they need to change? Most. And so now that we've answered those questions, we've asked them what's going on, we've evaluated, we've organized what they've told us, now it's time for some biblical instruction. Let's begin with a definition. It is instilling an understanding of God's word into another's heart so as to stimulate faith and obedience in all areas of life. Now, I'd like to unpack a few of these phrases because of their importance. First of all, understanding God's word. Part of our task as helpers, part of our task as servants, part of our task as counselors is making sure that the people that we're ministering to actually understand what the scripture has to say. And please remember this, that what may be obvious to you might not be so obvious to the person that you're trying to minister to. And so a passage of Scripture that may have resonated in your mind for years, you've thought about it, you tried to live it out every day of your life, it's like totally brand new to the person you're talking to. They barely even heard it, let alone thought about it or sought to practice it. And so part of what we're going to be trying to do is make sure they understand what God has to say. Then you notice in the definition, into their hearts, into another's heart. We're not just asking for intellectual assent. We're not just simply trying to convince them that such and such is the truth. We're asking them to believe that this is not simply the words of man, but the very words of God. We want them to believe that it's blessed to live by them. We want them to believe that this is God's advice to them, not simply mine or yours. Then it's to stimulate faith and obedience in all areas of life. In other words, we want a response. So we're not just asking them to believe that such and such is true. We're not just simply asking them to say, well, yes, that would have impacted the way I made my decisions last week. We're asking them now, for this coming week, those things actually have to make a difference. We're asking them now that this passage or this storyline or whatever it is that we're teaching them, whatever instruction that we're providing them, actually makes a difference in the way in which they live, to stimulate faith and obedience. Now, we of course believe that the Holy Spirit is a crucial part of this process, right? Either the Spirit works in the person's life and they get it, or he doesn't, and they continue to live in ignorance. But what we're asking is, what is our part in it? What are we going to try to do? And this is it. We're going to try to instill an understanding of God's Word into their heart, not just into their intellectual assent, to stimulate faith and obedience. Now, that's not really hard to prove biblically, is it? In fact, there's like tons of passages that we could go over. Here's just a few of them. Deuteronomy 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts. And teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and walk in the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 19, one of the most beautiful psalms with respect to the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Do our counselors rejoice at the precepts of the Lord? Are they going to after we're done meeting with them? Oh, we hope so, huh? They're much more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Again, is that the way that people are viewing the Word of God? With that kind of mindset? Or as, oh, here comes the big ogre God telling me what I have to do again. Part of our task as people who are seeking to help is 2 Timothy 2, being diligent to present ourselves a workman to God, approved, who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. And there's several others, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 1, 1 Corinthians 2, all of them emphasize in one way or another the importance of biblical instruction. Now let's talk about how to get that done. So we all agree that that's important. At some place in our ministry with someone on a personal basis, we have to be giving them, talking to them, encouraging them to believe the Scriptures. So let's talk about some ways to get that done. Here's number one, follow sound principles of hermeneutics or Bible study ourselves. That's a mouthful, but let me just highlight this. We could do a whole session on this. We could do a whole week on this. But let me just highlight three things, especially for those of you who are new to studying the Bible, that will help you. First of all, be a good observer of the text. Let me just point out a few passages of Scripture just for fun, just to highlight what being a good observer is. In Philippians chapter 2 for a minute. If you got your Bible, you can go there with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.